Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, Israel, town of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 17, 2017. Order is Bull 29, 2021. We will start a second service on this preparation day for the Sabbath with a song entitled Draw Me Now, Holy Spirit. As a pleasure, pleasure it holds. Many times your spirit tried to draw me, and so many times I was not secure. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I am ready for my heart is filled with joy. All the plans you have reserved are behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, make me whole. Many times my footsteps grew weary. You said that I would take earthly pain. But now I'm rejoicing, I'm so happy. God, I'm now called by His name. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I'm ready for my heart is filled with joy. All the plans you have before are behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. By the cares of this life of sin, when one day an amazing thing happened, by God's grace I was healed from sin to end. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. I am led from my heart of so much joy. The pleasure of the Lord is behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. Wicked and Sinners, Part 1, Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Yahweh exceedingly. All right, let's look at Genesis 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of Yahweh. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. This is Genesis 13:8 now. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren, as Genesis 13:9, if not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Yahweh destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of Yahweh like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So as before Yahweh destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Oh boy, I said, that's wonderful for all this cattle to graze on. Genesis 13:11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Yahweh exceedingly. And Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Genesis 13:17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Genesis 13:18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar unto Yahweh. End of Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13 was verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Yahweh exceedingly. So I say, when a professed Christian says, well, we're all sinners, we're all born sinners, we're just saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and by his blood dying on the cross. He died on the cross to save sinners. No, he died on the cross to save the righteous that had already gone before with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because they had already been purified by the blood of the everlasting covenant under the law of Moses up to the death of Yahshua. And that's who he died for. It says so in Romans chapter 5. Let's just back up here now and read Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with the Father through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Now, how do you have peace with the Father? It's through his Son, by whom also we have access by the faith in his blood into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Father. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Yahshua died for the unrighteous. Now, Paul is talking to these Roman Gentiles here. He said, for when we were without strength in due time, Yahshua, the Son, died for the unrighteous. So, that seems to refute what I just said, that Yahshua didn't die for sinners, because unrighteous people are also classified as sinners. This says, when we were without strength in due time, Yahshua died for the unrighteous. Now, he's talking about those, though, that was preordained for salvation. He's not talking about the sinner that never did accept the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. He's not talking about those. He's talking about those that have accepted the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. And when those that did that, then that's who he died for. But they were classified as sinners and unrighteous up to the time that they accepted the blood of the everlasting covenant. And when they did that, they were covered by it. And then Yahshua died for those because they got their name placed in his record book by accepting of his blood, and so that he knew who to die for. He only died for those whose names were written in his book. And it says in Romans 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his love toward us, the Father, in that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. So, in that respect, then, I have to retrace my steps and say, yes, Yahshua died back then on the cross for Paul and all those Gentiles that were yet sinners, because Paul didn't accept the Savior until 3.5 years after the Savior was crucified. And so the Savior met him on the road to Damascus. Remember, Paul going persecuting the Christians? And the Savior met him and knocked him off his mule. And he was led blindfold to the prophet's house, where Paul stayed blinded for 3 days, and he was taught the new and living way by the prophet. And then after he became born again, Paul became born again, recreated. And then he accepted Yahshua, repented of his sins, and now he's no longer a sinner. But he was a sinner up to that point. That was 3.5 years after the crucifixion of Yahshua. And Paul said, while we were yet without strength, he died for us. And he said, while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. So he's talking about those that was preordained for salvation to be the leaders in his church that he died for. Because he knew who was preordained from the foundation of the world, and he bought them with his blood from the foundation of the world. So all these preordained people were bought by the blood of the Savior from the foundation of the world. Alright? And it says in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to the Father by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay. Now, what does it say right here? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So his death on the cross only justifies you by his blood. But by his new and living way, which Romans 8 talks about, then you're saved through his life. It says so right here. Much more than being now justified by his blood that he shed on the cross, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now remember that preposition through? When you started reading Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by the faith, we have peace with the Father through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. So in verse 9 it says, much more than being now justified by his faith. So you have to have faith in the blood of the Savior, accept of it, and then he will shed it for you. In Paul's case, he shed it at the cross for him. 3.5 years before Paul was justified. Paul wasn't justified at the cross. Paul was justified 3.5 years after the cross on his way to Damascus when he was confronted by the Savior, knocking him off his mule, blinding him, and introducing himself to Paul probably for the first time by voice. And Paul then became justified by the blood that was shed 3.5 years earlier, but he had to accept of it. He had to repent of his sins so that Yahshua then could teach him the new and living way, how he is to follow the blood system through the new and living way now. Because the blood of Yahshua on the cross closed out the old and living way of the old covenant law of the Moses with the animal sacrifice. But 3.5 years later, Paul was justified by the blood of the new and living way on a daily basis. Yahshua became the sacrifice and our mediator for us in the New Testament after his resurrection. So Paul is showing the two plans of salvation here. One for the old covenant and one for the new covenant. And Paul, he didn't live under the plan of salvation of the old covenant because he thought he had the truth, but he was just a cold-blooded sinner until he met Yahshua 3.5 years later after his resurrection on the way on the road to Damascus after he met him there. And he knocked him off his mule. They got acquainted for the first time in the real person, Yahshua and Paul. And then Paul then served Yahshua from then on. He became his number one servant for the Gentiles. And I dare say, if Paul hadn't been come converted and was preordained for salvation to be the leader and raise him up for the Gentiles, the Gentile world would have been in trouble. Because Yahshua and the Father chose that way in which the Gentiles were to hear the gospel. But through Paul and the disciples, first and foremost through Paul. So if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to the Father by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's in Romans 5:10. Not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, by whom we now have received the atonement. So Paul and I are telling the Gentiles, we have now received the atonement through Yahshua, our Messiah, on the Day of Atonement, that is September the 10th every year, and it's of the seventh month. That's ongoing. It has never changed. The everlasting covenant will not allow that to be changed. We still have that holy day once a year, or the Day of Atonement, for the blotting out of sin. So those that are claiming to be sinners, yeah, you're right in saying that you're a sinner. Because if you don't know the new and living way and haven't been introduced to the new and living way and accepted of it and learned how the plan of salvation works through the laws of the sanctuary today, because Yahshua told the disciples, there in John 15:10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he says right there in Romans 6:12, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is a past tense adverb. Okay, so meaning that you can't continue sinning every day. You have to be classified as a sinner one time. I mean just one time. And then you have to confess your sin, repent, start following the new and living way to the blood of our Savior. And then your sins become past tense. They end with an ED. But if you sin on a daily basis, then you don't ever get an ED put to your to that word sin. You don't get a past tense adverb put to it. Okay. Now, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Moses, no, Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of Yahweh and the gift by grace which is by one man, Yahshua Messiah hath abounded unto many. and not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one that through condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses under the justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by the one Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, if by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. Whereas by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, Yahshua did much more abound. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto the eternal life by the Yahshua Messiah our Savior. So now what does that tell us? Sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. What does it mean, righteousness? Through the righteousness in the faith of the blood of Yeshua unto the eternal life by our Savior Yeshua the Messiah. Okay, now in Romans chapter 6, the very last verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life, the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. Psalms chapter 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O Yahweh, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But knoweth Yahweh hath set apart him that is righteous for himself. Yahweh will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Come in with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Yahweh. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Yahweh, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Yahweh, only makest me dwell in safety. Okay, that's the end of Psalms chapter 4. Now we're going to continue on our theme, sin. We're going to go to Psalms 32 and read the whole chapter. It says that, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For in day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is righteous pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked. There's that word wicked. And sinners go together. But he that trusteth in the Yahweh, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Yahweh, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So that's the end of chapter 32. Let's see what we have next. Chapter 38. It says that, O Yahweh, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Okay, there's no rest in his bones because of his sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as in heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Yahweh, all my desire is before thee. And my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my soul, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Yahweh, there I hope thou wilt hear, O Yahweh, my Elohim. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise it should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. There it is right there. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Because I follow the thing that good is, forsake me not, O Yahweh, O my Elohim. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Yahweh of my salvation. Okay, that's the end of Psalm 38. Now let's go right on into Psalm 39. I said I will take heed unto my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with the silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, and then spake I with my tongue. Yahweh, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, O Yahweh, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. It says, when thou with rebuke dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely, every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner. As all my fathers were, O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Okay, let's go right on into Psalms chapter 40, start with verse 1. I waited patiently for the Yahweh, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our Elohim. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Yahweh. Blessed is that man that maketh the Yahweh his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Yahweh, my Elohim, are thy works, wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. So it says that, verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my Yahweh, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness. Okay, it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Though I have not refrained my lips, O Yahweh, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness, and thy salvation I have not concealed, thy loving kindness, and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Yahweh, that thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For the innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Yahweh, to deliver me, O Yahweh. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be destined for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Yahweh be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Yahweh thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my Elohim. Okay, that's the end of Psalms 40. That will go all the way to Psalm 51. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O Yahweh, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Okay, now it says that verse 14, to deliver me from the blood guiltlessness, O Yahweh, thou Elohim, my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. For the sacrifice of Yahweh are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Yahweh, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Okay, that's the end of Psalms 51. We're going out of Psalm 59. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my Elohim. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. For the mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahweh. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Yahweh, Elohim of the host, the Elohim of Israel, awaken to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful unto any wicked transgressor, Selah. They return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouths, swords are in their lips, for whose say they death here. But thou, O Yahweh, shalt laugh at them, thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For Yahweh is my defense, the Yahweh of my mercy, he shall prevent me. Yahweh shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Yahweh, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that Yahweh ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for Yahweh is my defense, the Elohim of my mercy. Okay, that's the end of chapter 59 of Psalms. They're strolling out of Psalm 85. It says, Yahweh, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, of all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O Yahweh, of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger unto all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Yahweh, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what Yahweh the Elohim will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and unto his saints, but let them not turn again unto folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Now remember that. That's Psalms 85, verse 11. Let's read that again. For the truth shall spring out of the earth. Earth in prophecy is the United States, first and foremost. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Yahweh shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Now we go to Psalm 45:8 for a cross-reference and see what we come up with there. It says that all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. I love that. Ivory palaces. Let's go to Psalms now, 109. Let's pick up there, verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O Yahweh, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Well, that's what they have done with Donald Trump. They have spoken out against him with a lying tongue now for going on a year. Or no, over 2 years. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, that I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Sit thou, wicked man, over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let the children be continually vagabond and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation of fallen, let their name be blotted out. And let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Yahweh, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Then let them be before the Yahweh continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursings, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels, like water and like oil into his bone. Let it be unto him as the garments which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Yahweh and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O Yahweh, the Yahweh for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me. They shake their heads. Help me, O Yahweh, my Elohim. O save me according unto thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Yahweh, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they rise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be truly ashamed, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Yahweh with my mouth, yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Okay, that's the end of Psalms 109. Let's go now into Psalms 119. Well, that's a long chapter, 176 verses. It says, verse 11. Let's just read verse 11 of Psalms 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Okay. And that's the only scripture in Psalms 119. The longest chapter in the Bible, and has only got one scripture that has sin. Okay, let's go right on down to Proverbs now, chapter 10. And let's start with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Yahweh will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in the heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. And the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. There you have it. The fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth his slander is a fool. And the multitude of the words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of the wisdom. The blessing of Yahweh, it maketh rich. and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Yahweh, it maketh rich. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Yahweh prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be granted, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Yahweh is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. For the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. Okay, that's the end of Proverbs chapter 10. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 14. We have about 4 minutes left here. Let's see what we got here. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth Yahweh, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. For no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Okay, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mark of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. For the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well unto his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even as his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. The true witness delivers souls. And the fear of the Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Yahweh is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the one of people it is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bone. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor, The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. There you have it, right there. Righteousness is all to the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. That says it all right there. Okay, let's see where we're at. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time. So what do we learn? We learn what it says there in John, sin is a transgression of the law. In Proverbs 20, verse 9, we'll read it. Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin? ? Who can say that? Okay. Proverbs 21:4. It says, "And high look and a proud heart, the plowing of the wicked is sin." Proverbs 24:9. It says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." It says, "And the scorner is an abomination unto man." Okay, that's part. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5:6. Let's look at that right quick. It says that, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin." That's a very good one right there. Neither say thou be taught before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should Yahweh be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand? That says it all. This brings the close of our study. This is our contact. This is at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio. Archives to hear this message and more. Now let's close the song. Dusty Roses and the Feet by Elijah Daly. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads to you and me. Often cars taken prone, careless burden all alone, as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross, to the golden street, to a place in that land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, Dusty Roads and No Feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and the feet, oh, the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross. It was going straight to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, Dusty Roads and the Feet. Dusty roads are his companion, desert places his abode. Sandal feet are often weary underneath the heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way, on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty roads, sandal feet, oh, the journey was complete, from the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. dusty roses and no feet. How would you like to meet that man named Yashua coming down your street? Would she be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would she be like Jonah who wanted to be? Dusty roses and no feet. Oh, the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and old fields, the author of